this morning on Voice in the Valley, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And this is a very important scripture. Many people confuse how to get to heaven with traditions and just what they think it is because they've heard it here or there, and haven't really looked at the scriptures closely enough to see that maybe what they believe isn't necessarily true. A lot of people, if you ask them if they think they'll go to heaven, they'll say yes because they're a good person, which ultimately means yes because I'm not as bad as the other guy, or because I do good things, or I haven't done the worst things. But Scripture tells us in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 that we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not by any good works, so that we can't boast about it. So this morning, as you listen to this message, I hope it's encouraging to you. I hope if it's the first time hearing of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you really allow it to seep into your heart and know that the pressure isn't on you to get saved. It was all placed on the cross. Your good works won't get you there. Your good works are what give gratitude and what you were created to do to serve God, but not to get you into heaven. Jesus paid that all at the cross. So here's this morning's message from Grace Community Church of Lansford, Ephesians chapter 2, 8, and 9. Scripture can be found in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. So if you guys would please turn there this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Yeah, I ask that when you get there, you please stand to show reverence for the Word of God. And again, if you don't have a Bible, please see me. I'll give you a Bible after service. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Now the reading of the Word of God. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not for yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We praise God for his portion of this holy word. Word of God. May be seated. Can we hold it above our heads to show his authority over us and everything we say and do? I could have just kept on worshiping this morning. And I could sing God's Not Dead at least another dozen times probably. Because, you know. Man. So the last couple of weeks I've been preaching on favorite verses that have been an encouragement in my life. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jeremiah 29:11. God has a plan and purpose for us, not to harm us, but to prosper us. When we seek him with all our heart, we'll find him. Last week, we looked at Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And today, I would say, especially when it comes to sharing the good news of the gospel, Christ, by far my favorite verse, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You know, anytime I share my faith, other than the normal John 3:16 that everyone knows, you can't share it without Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. This verse has become very important in my ministry here in Lansford because it is a verse that proclaims the power of God apart from ourselves and fights against the misunderstanding of how to have eternal life that unfortunately so many times in this area it confuses. My heart for this area, as we know and as I've shared many times before, came at a young age. And part of that ministry or that calling upon my heart was because a realization of a confusion that is in this area when it comes to how to have eternal life. Many times, talking to friends, I can remember many times in school, talking to friends about faith. And
I'm sure many times today you talk to people. What's one of the first answers you get when you ask somebody, how do you get to heaven? Or do you think you'll go to heaven? One of the first answers you get is, well, yeah, I think I'll go to heaven because I'm a good person. Isn't that like probably more than 50% of the answer that you get? Maybe 60, 70, or 80? And really, that answer misses out totally on what eternal life is and how we get it. And so at an early age, God pressed upon my heart that, hey, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is kind of your mission verse here in this valley, because it's not about your good works and trying to be the person to get yourself into heaven. It's about a gift of God, amen? So we make it very clear. Good works won't get you to heaven. Good works won't get you to heaven. Let's say that with me. Good works won't get you to heaven. Is everyone clear? One more time, just in case. Good works won't get you to heaven. Sometimes, you know, we get that stuff in there that kind of clogs up the brain, and you got to pound it and pound it with the Word of God to break it loose. Good works will not get you into heaven. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it starts out by saying, for it is by grace you have been saved. And we're only going to take these two small verses here, and we're going to just totally rip them apart. For it is by grace you have been saved. The it there, for it, the it is referring to salvation. Everyone understands what salvation is. That is that which brings us to eternal life with God in heaven. A place that all of us, hopefully all of us want to be when we leave this earth is heaven, because that is our true home, amen? So the it is salvation, eternal life, heaven, and it is by grace that we receive it. That is what has saved us. We ask what saved us from what? And we have been saved from eternal separation from God or hell. Hell is a real place. People today don't want to believe hell is a real place. Hell is a real place. Jesus talked about it more than he talked about heaven, believe it or not. If you do not have the blood of Jesus washing over your sins, you are eternally separated from God. Why? Because God doesn't love you anymore? No, he loves you more than you'll ever know. He loves people all the way until the point when they die and they have to be separated from him. And he still loves them. But because he is holy, he cannot allow their sins to come into his presence. That makes sense? He is a holy God. Therefore, sin can't come where God is because he's holy. What happened when Jesus was on the cross and he took our sins? What did God the Father do? He had to turn away from his Son because he could not look at the sins that were upon him. That's why the shed blood is so important. It covers our sins so that we can come into the presence of a holy God. Amen? Now, grace, as many of you I'm sure know, is unmerited favor. That is receiving something we don't deserve. That's what grace is. We have received something that we don't deserve. My salvation, and the very understanding of grace, means it is something I had nothing to do with. It is a free gift of God, unmerited and unearned. I had nothing to do with my salvation. It was a free gift given to me. I did not earn it. It was all God. It begins with the fact that God has decided to allow us to have salvation, despite the fact that we don't deserve it. God decided that we can have salvation even though we don't deserve salvation. He chose to give it to us apart from anything we can do. So when you're saved, that means you were in a powerless situation and someone else had to save or help you. That's usually what happens. If you're drowning and you need to be saved, what can you do to save yourself? Nothing, right? Someone else has to come and save you because you're drowning. You're helpless. We were helpless in our sin. We're crying out to be saved. We were powerless. God in his power died, rose again. When you call upon the name of the Lord, he will come and save you and cover over your sins. Amen? Does that make sense to everybody? Goes on, scripture says, for it is by grace you have been saved, and it is through faith. By God's grace, he chose to bring salvation because he loves us. The only part we have in it is to choose to receive it. How do we choose to receive it? By faith. How do we choose to receive salvation? It is by faith. Faith is the key that starts the engine to a car that has already been provided, if you look at it that way. God's provided the car. The engine's in the car. All you need is a little thing called faith, to turn, and you have salvation. It's that simple. And many times, many people try to make it a lot more difficult or hard to understand. Faith involves knowledge of the gospel. Because if you don't know what you're having faith in, you know, how are you really going to be able to understand? And so faith in the gospel is this. And many of you guys probably know the Romans Road. This is what you have faith in. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It tells us that we're all equal, we're all sinners, we all fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrated his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 8:1, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And finally, Romans 10:9-10, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." By faith, if you believe these scriptures, you will be saved. By the grace of salvation that God has freely decided to give us. Again, these scriptures, once believed with a true and genuine heart, are the key that turns the engine in the car of salvation. God himself has already provided for us by his love. That's it in a nutshell. Nothing I did, I was powerless. I was lost, I was separated from a holy God because of my sin. Because God loves me, because I could do nothing about it, he died on the cross, his blood ran, he became the sacrifice, he took my place. He rose from the grave, he conquered death. Now me in my helpless situation, because I can't get to God and his holiness because of my sin, I needed a savior. I call upon the Lord to be my savior, to come into my heart. So I'm going to live for him and not myself anymore. And when I do that, his blood covers my sins, and guess where I get to be? I get to come into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. It had nothing to do with me, all to do with him. I just have to have faith and believe that he is my savior. So, it goes on in Ephesians, and Paul kind of emphasizes the point here. He says, "And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God." Pretty clear. So I need to be fully trusting in the Lord as my Savior. So in order to get to heaven, I need to be a good person, right? No, right? That's what we start out. No, I'm just checking. Make sure we're all awake and focused here. I don't find my salvation in myself. It is not from yourself. It is a gift of God. It's not from yourself. And it, you know, people, again, it's so hard to grasp that because we try to do everything ourselves, don't we? We try to fix every problem ourselves. We're always trying to find solutions. And, you know, one of the things Vicky all yells at me for, because I'm a solution person, so she tells me this, and I start giving her all these solutions. I don't want solutions or answers, just listen to me. Anybody ever get that before? Or maybe you give that advice out? It's not about finding solutions. God has already been the solution. And the answer is Jesus Christ. It's a gift from God. You may say, you know, nothing is free. And in a sense, you're right. Jesus paid the price of our sin on the cross. It was a high price that he paid. He took our place and our punishment. So to him, it was a great cost, but to us, we benefit it and it is free. You know, and this might be a little silly, but if you have kids or grandkids, or I'm sure, you know, maybe you like Happy Meals to yourself as an adult. I don't know. But every time we go by McDonald's, you know, Abby's always saying, let's go to McDonald's. Let's go to McDonald's. Right? She wants a Happy Meal. So we'll drive around and pull up and order a Happy Meal, and we'll get it out and I'll give it to her and she'll say thank you. And, you know, the great thing is for her, it was free. Every time we go there, it's free for her. Guess who had to pay for it? Me. Well, you know, if you've seen where I'm going here, this very simple illustration, it's free for us. We reach and we receive it. But it came at a price, Almighty God, the death of His Son on the cross. Jesus paid it all for each and every one of us, as received by faith. And then finally, there's an answer given why good people don't go to heaven, so to speak. Your good works don't get you into heaven. And it's because, as it says here, it's not by works so that no one can boast. No one can boast. We are a boastful people. I'll give the example. Brent's a Seahawk fan. How about Mr. Sherman there who said, don't be bringing weak receivers around me and blah, 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 right? For those who watch football. We are a boastful people. We have egos sometimes that are a little bit too big than they should be. God says, listen, it ain't by works that you're going to get in this place. Nothing that you can boast about. It's about what I did for you. If I could earn my way into heaven apart from God, then who then needs a God? Who is God? Is it God or is it me? Am I God? Maybe I'm God because I'm the one who got myself here into heaven. Who needs this God? How many good works are enough? 100,000 good works? I've used this example before. What happens if you did 100,000 good works and you needed 100,001? And you just missed out? That would really stink. Maybe if I just average out to being a better person than not such a good person, I never killed anybody, I never cheated, I never stolen, so that makes me good and better than the next guy. So of course I have to be going to heaven. Doesn't that make sense? No, because in my mind I'm always the good person compared to the other guy. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. God says, it doesn't matter how good of a person you think you are. When you're talking about the holiness of God looking upon sinful man, even the best of our righteousness looks like filthy rags to Him. According to the Word of God, we can't pronounce ourselves good because of the sin we are born with. By the blood of Jesus, we are pronounced good and righteous. Not by what I have done, but by what He has done. It's the blood of Christ. That is what pronounces you good. That is what pronounces you righteous. The blood of Jesus upon your life. Last week I shared that Jesus is my Savior, not my religion. I'm not promoting Catholicism. I'm not promoting being Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist, Pentecostal. I promote Jesus and the Word of God. Amen. So when other believers say that they need to get to heaven by doing good works, it bothers me because it's not what the Scripture says. When people are told that a man can forgive their sins and be forgiven by repetitive phrases, I'm offended because it's not the blood of Jesus that's being promoted and the only way that we can find forgiveness. When you're told of a place that you go that is in between heaven and hell, like purgatory, so you can be purified to enter heaven by others praying for you, I'm offended because the Word of God says our purification only comes by the shed blood of Jesus, not from man and his prayers for you. Who are we to say that we can purify one another's sins by our prayers? 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Either you're covered in the blood, or you're not covered in the blood. Doesn't matter what else you want to call yourself. Either you're covered in the blood, or you're not covered in the blood. And all God looks at when you stand before him is, are you covered in the blood, or aren't you covered in the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen? It is never about me or another man or woman. It is about Jesus and what he has done. And I will boast in him and not myself. Now we know that, and I don't want you leaving this place saying, oh, well, okay, I'm saved. I don't have to do any good works at all. I don't have to do anything, you know. I walk around, do whatever I want. And don't people always argue that who hear this? They say, oh, you're saved. Okay, you know you're going to heaven, so you can live any way you want. Right? Isn't that what you hear when you try to explain this sometimes to people? The answer is no, you can't live any way you want. If you truly believe in Jesus, he changes you with his Holy Spirit. You're born again. Scripture says that you want to live for him. And I now do good works in appreciation, and also because that is what he has created me to do. Works for his kingdom, to his glory. But it has nothing to do with my standing in the kingdom and everything with serving others to the kingdom. It has everything to do with my service for the kingdom, and nothing to do with my standing to get into the kingdom, my good works. Some churches would like you to believe it's works, and what the church says that brings salvation. You know, let's face it. People will twist the scriptures around to get you to believe what benefits them. Some churches will preach, you have to do so many good works, and you have to pay this amount of money, and you got to light this many candles, you got to do this, this, and this, in order to scare you into heaven. That's not what God intends you. He ain't trying to scare you into heaven. He's just telling you the way it is. Have the blood cover you, or don't have the blood cover you. But we're not to be scared into heaven. A lot of times it's a control issue that we see going on that's being preached. To keep people to do what the church is saying instead of what Jesus taught that you had to set to do in order to be saved. Jesus says we have freedom in Christ. It's not by works or what the church says that sets us free, but the shed blood of Jesus and his resurrection and his word that sets us free. Amen? Get in trouble when we listen to man and his traditions. You better make sure that they're backed up by the word of God. Anything that I say or preach, you better make sure it's backed up by the word of God. I expect you to be coming up and telling me if it's not. It is according to the word of God, and Jesus has set us free according to his rules in obedience and believing in him. I come to church because I'm free, and God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power. I don't need to fear death, hoping I'm good enough. I have victory over death because of the gift of grace from my Father in heaven and the conquering of death Jesus did at the cross. So as I come to a conclusion here, We always talk about James. James is very clear that I will not just talk of my faith, but I will show you my faith by what I do. It is an outward product that salvation has already come. If you plant an apple tree, what comes from an apple tree? Apples. If you plant an orange tree, what comes from an orange tree? They are byproducts of what the tree is. As a Christian, your byproduct is your fruit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I receive the gifts of salvation by faith. I'm a Christian planted in this world that is not my true home, but out of me is produced good works or good fruits for the glory and service of God in this kingdom. So again, the works don't save you. They show that you have been saved. They're the fruit. Your good works are the proof, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the proof that you are saved. So Ephesians 2:8 and 9 to me, number one, it assures me of my salvation. If I die you guys probably could answer what I'm already going to say. There's so much. If I die tonight, I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm a pastor. Not because of any good works I did. The shed blood of Jesus covers my sins. Need to be able to have that peace. Jesus is the peace that passes all understanding. While death could be something that can be very uneasy. I hope each and every one here tonight can say, if I die tonight, I know I'm going to heaven. Some people say, you can't say that. You don't know. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I can say that. I do know. I didn't make the rules. God said I'm going to heaven. Not me. God said I'm going to heaven. Because of what he did for me. Number two, it convicts my heart to share the truth of God's word with others in this valley that in some ways have been confused by other traditions and may lead them in a direction other than what God has done for them. So when you hear someone say, I hope I get to heaven, or I think I'll get to heaven because I'm a good person, without James chapter 2, 8 and 9, it's, I just want you to read this and give you a little piece about it. It's not about your good works. It's about a free gift God gave you. Number three, when you hear someone say, I'm a good person, that's how I hope I will get into heaven, it is your responsibility to share that. Responsibility to share that. It's your responsibility to share that. I didn't just come up with this message this morning because this is what I'm supposed to do at this time of the day. Okay? I'm giving forth the word of God, and unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to see it, it places a responsibility on you people. And upon me, that this is what I need to be sharing with others, because there is no such thing as chance. Somebody brings someone in, if somebody comes into your life, God has brought them in your life for a reason, and most likely it's so that they can understand or hear the truth of God's word and have eternal life in a relationship with Him. So if by chance you're watching the Super Bowl next Sunday, and somehow religion or faith or whatever becomes a topic, and they say, well, I hope I'm a good person. I think I'll get to heaven. Right there, it should click. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it's a free gift. Amen? Finally, true compassion and love doesn't allow the people around us to live a false understanding that leads to separation to a loving God who has already given us all we need. We are to love like Christ. We are to have compassion like Christ. Love and compassion does not allow other people to believe falsehood, but instead they need to hear the truth of how to have eternal life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your word, how important this scripture is. And Lord, we just praise you for it. And we don't boast in ourselves. We don't boast in what we've done. We boast in who Jesus Christ is and the eternal life that we have in Him. And I thank you that at a young age you brought a conviction on my heart. And I pray that all of us would have a conviction on our heart, that people will hear the truth and not be confused by other stuff that is out there, but to know that they can have eternal life when they believe in the Son of God and ask Him to be their Lord and Savior so the shed blood washed over their sins. Father, we give you glory and praise. You are the one true Messiah. In Jesus' name.
Again, I'd like to thank you for listening to Voice in the Valley. We'd like to remind you that if you'd like to come join us on a Sunday morning, we have a church van that can come pick you up. Just call the church before 9 a.m. on Sunday. Phone number is 570-645-2212, and leave your name, your address, and your phone number, and we'll come pick you up. Also, our Thankful Thrift Store is open every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 24 West Ridge Street, Lansford. The phone number is 570-645-9920. So if you get a chance, stop by, come in, say hi, and we have all kinds of things in the Thankful Thrift Store. We hope that you have a great and blessed week.